Uzbez on page 17. Vayedaber Hashem v'gomer zos Torah ha'ola hi ha'ola al moikta al mizbeach kol alayla araboker. So the parsha starts with the carbon ola. So Rashi says, what's sav? In the parsha, sav, command. Perish Rashi zal amr b'shimon b'yoser tzorech ha'kosav lezares b'makom sheyesh bo chesron kis. The Torah needs to be mezares us, needs to add encouragement to us whenever there's chesron kis. What's chesron kis? When there's money involved. Right? Chesron kis. Kis means your wallet. So whenever there's some type of chisaron on the wallet, whenever there's financial expectations, so the Torah needs to give you an extra push. It's going to cost you to bring a carbon ola. Okay. So tzav, command. Be firm. Be encouraging. So says the Yismach Yisrael, this idea of chesron kis is much deeper than just, you know, we need chizuk when it costs a few extra dollars to be a yit. Ulahav in divrei Rashi zal nakdim de isav mesecha Sanhedrin. Quotes an interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin daf tzalitas. Amar Rava, kulo gufei deruftike ninhu. Every guf, every body, deruftike ninhu, is a kli. It's like a pouch, a wallet. An empty vessel. Toive le dezake de havi deruftika doraisa. So fortune is one, right? It's the good fortune of one who fills his what? Who fills his pouch with oraisa, with Torah. Your body is a kli. What do you fill your body with? What do you fill your world with? What do you fill your life with? Perish Rashi Zalsham. Rashi explains. What does it mean, deruftiki? Lashon acher. Deruftiki kis aruch. Your body is like one long pouch, shemasimin bo mos, like a long pouch that is typically used for money. V'chol gufim nirtokenhim, and every body again is like that empty vessel. And what the Gemara is saying in Sanhedrin is again Hashem, so to speak, gives you a blank slate, an empty wallet, and it's our job to fill it up with Torah and mitzvos, and to hopefully bring it back. So now we see from this Gemara that the body is called the kiss. Va'inyan hu ki aguf hu bechinas chitzonius, va'pnimius nikras bechinas neshama. The guf is the chitzonius of a person, and the pnimius of a person is the neshama. Right, so we have an inside, we have an outside. We have a vessel, and then we have hopefully the spirit within the vessel, which is the neshama. As Chazal say, tfila below kavana, kaguf below neshama. A davening without kavana, it's like a body without a soul. Right? When a person davens and he's not mindful of what he's doing, so his body is present, but his soul isn't present, which means that his tefillah is basically dead. You're like a body without a soul. Okay? V'hinei b'maseches yoma amru, it says in maseches yoma daf chavtes, hirhure aveira kasha me aveira. Now, we have to understand this concept very carefully because it's hard to understand. Thoughts of an Avera are kashim, are worse on some level than the Avera itself. Contemplating an Avera is worse than the Avera itself. Why? I would think it's much worse to do it. If I thought about it and then I restrained myself from doing it, you would think that's much better. But Chazal tell us, no, Yerhure Avera kashim me Avera. Why is that? He gives two reasons, and they're both very profound. Ubir ha'inyan yeshlamar. She'im chata ha'adam b'poel. Because if I actually perform the Avera, Lamaisa, if I do the action, La'achar asiyas ha'maisa yodeya shenigmar ha'avera. When I finish the action, I know that I've completed the Avera. And therefore what? Aval hirhur ein lashur. Meaning an action has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Thoughts can just go on and on and on and on and on. So in a certain sense, when a person does an action, at least he gets it over with. And then he can hopefully move past it. But when he's stuck on it, when it's in his mind and he's thinking about it all the time, he could be, you know, attached to that Avera in his mind for much longer periods of time. It's like the Sefer HaChinuch writes by the prohibition of Lo Sisna es Achicha Bilvadecha. Don't hate your fellow Jew in your heart. Why does it specifically say don't hate your fellow Jew in your heart? Because again, the Sefer HaChinuch says, because if you leave those emotions inside, If you keep thinking, every time you see that person, you think negative thoughts about them, and you're always so angry at them, to go over to the person, you know what, I really don't like you, and here's the reason why. Now, that might be an uncomfortable conversation, but at least, okay, at least you can get it out of your system. Maybe you can come to some reconciliation. But to just hold it inside, bottled up inside, you're constantly carrying this negative feeling inside of yourself. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, every second that you have this hatred towards this fellow Jew could be an Isser D'Oraisa. Every second of every day. That's crazy. So the same thing here. Here, Hurei Aveira, thoughts of an Aveira, are worse than the Aveira itself, because the Aveira itself, the Maisa, has a time limit, has a time frame. As opposed to the thoughts of the Aveira, that could go on and on and on in Lashir. Okay, that's reason number one, why maybe thoughts of an Aveira are worse than the Aveira. I'll just point out something very interesting. I don't remember which tzaddik it was. One of the tzaddikim said, look at the Rashi Tevos of Hurei Aveira Kashim Me'Aveira. What are the Rashi Tevos? Hurei Aveira Kashim Me'Aveira. Right, it's Rashi Tevos Ma'aka. Mem ayin kuf hei. What's a maka? The Torah commands us to put a fence around our rooftops, right? Asisa maka l'gagecha. Make sure that you make a fence for your roof. So one of the tzaddikim explained, where's my roof? I mean, my house has a roof, maybe. Where else is my roof? If my body is my house, so where's my roof? My head is my roof. This is the top of my, this is my building, this is my structure, this is my bias. My head is my roof. Make a maka, put a fence around your roof means what? It means make sure that what? You fence in, you learn to control your thoughts. Right? Why? Because maka is Rashi Tevos, Hirhure Aveira, Kashame Aveira. Because if I allow my thoughts to run wild, the thoughts of sin in some ways are worse than the sin itself. So now, again, why is that so? Reason number one, because there's no limitations to how long those thoughts can linger. If I do the action, okay, I get it over with, and hopefully I move past it. But if I contemplate it, I could be thinking about it, meditating upon it all day. That's reason number one. Reason number two, v'gam al ha'hirhor nidmalo shalochat ha'klal v'lo shos libo l'shuv al zeh. This is very true. The second point he says is that when a person just has a thought of an aveira, so he doesn't think he did anything so bad. Because he says to himself, well, it's not like I did the action, you know, not as bad as that guy who actually did that thing. I just, it crossed my mind. He thinks it's not such a big deal. He doesn't think it's a big deal. I didn't actually do it. In a certain sense, I saw one of the Majid Tzarebis says, the Isa Bracha, the Majid Tzarebis says, in a certain sense, what do you mean? The thought is what leads to the speech about that action and then eventually that action. So the thought, right? He uses the statement of Chazal that gufa basar resha garer, which means that the body is drawn after the head, which is a Gemara in Sota, but it means that, meaning everything that comes after was contained within that initial thought. So that's in a certain sense why it's worse. Contained within the machshava is the dibor and is the maisa. Right? But sometimes we convince ourselves just the opposite. We say, nah, it was just a thought. Thoughts don't really count. So therefore, Chazal try to remind us, no, your thoughts do count. In a certain sense, here Hurei Aveira, Kashim Me'Aveira doesn't necessarily mean worse than the Aveira, but it just means it's harder to fix here Hurei Aveira than the Aveira. Because if I did an Aveira, I know I did the wrong thing. I feel bad. I feel like I need to fix it. I want to fix it. If I just had a thought of an Aveira, it's just a thought. I didn't actually do anything. He compares it, he says, Ke'ein Divrei Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a very interesting comment in Mesachas Brachos, al safek aveira. What carbon does a person bring if he's not sure if he's chayav a carbon chatas? So sometimes he brings what's known as an asham taloi, right? An asham taloi, a guilt offering taloi. Taloi means it's dependent. What's it dependent on? We're not dependent upon whether he did in the aveira. Now we're not sure if he did in the aveira. What's more expensive, the asham taloi or a chatas? The asham taloi. It's a more expensive carbon. So why should I bring a more expensive carbon if I maybe did the Aveira than if I definitely did the Aveira? That's counterintuitive. Let the one who for sure is guilty bring the bigger carbon. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, no, you have to understand. The one who's for sure guilty knows that he's guilty. And he's going to have your Hurei Tshuva. The person who has a suffix, maybe I'm innocent, maybe I'm guilty, he's going to use his mind to convince himself that what? He's innocent. So the Torah says, we want you to consider also very seriously the possibility that you're guilty. Take your suffix of error very seriously. And therefore, the carbon that's brought, the asham taloi, is more expensive than a regular carbon chatas, as a way of reinforcing the fact that, no, you're suffix of error. We know you're not going to take it seriously, so we force you to take it seriously by charging you more, by asking you to bring a bigger animal. Okay? So these are two reasons, again, why hirhure avera or kashmi avera. Either because the length of time of a hirhur could be much longer than an action. And secondly, because he might convince himself, nah, it was just a thought. So we say, no, take it seriously. Okay? So now, let's come back to our Rashi. And you see a brilliant pshat from the Yismach Yisrael. What did Rashi say? By the carbon ola, the Torah says what? Tzav. Tzav means what? Encourage. Yeah? Tzav. One more in gematria than Haman. That's why some svarim say we read Parsha Tzav every year on Purim. Tzav is the Parsha that we read the week of Purim, because in a leap year, not every year, in a leap year, Tzav is one more than Haman. But Haman also, machsheves, everything is described, machsheves Haman, the thoughts of Haman, right? The evil intentions of Haman, the eitz of Haman, the advice of Haman. Yeah, a lot of, Lamaisa, Haman didn't do anything. Nothing happened. No Jews were killed. Okay, but his thoughts really mattered. So when a person brings a carbon ola, why does a person bring a carbon ola? So Chazal said, you bring a carbon ola for hirhure avera, for bad thoughts. So why is the Torah so stringent? Why does the Torah say, tzav? So Rav Shimon says, what? B'yoser tzara hakosav lezareis v'makom sheyesh bo chesron kis. We need to be machazik a person when there's chesron kis. What do we say the kis was? Your body's the kis, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Your body is the vessel. Your body is the wallet. Right? So what does chesron kis mean? It doesn't mean loss of money from your wallet. It means we need to remind you the severity, the seriousness of what you did when what? When there is no body. When there's chesron kis. When you're missing a body. What do you mean missing a body? When it's just thoughts. That's what chesron kis means. Look what he says. Val ze amar bishimon. Yoser tzarech hakosav lezaris b'makom sheyesh chesron kis. Hainu. I'll hear hure avera. When a person just has a thought, right? He doesn't, he's just using his neshama. He's using his kiss. He's not using his kli. He's not using his body. But we say, no, that's in sense. Hainu, I'll hear hure avera shalo gamar ha'avera b'poel im haguf shalah. He didn't use his kiss. He didn't use his wallet. He didn't use his body. But zeh kosher, zehu kosher me'avera. The Torah says, tzav. We want, as Jews, we take our thoughts very, very seriously. We don't discredit our thoughts. Right? To be an Adam Shalim means that my actions matter a lot. That's obvious. I feel it when I do an act. But do my thoughts matter so much? So we say, yes, your thoughts matter a lot also. We're dafka gnu mechazek a person to take his thoughts seriously. Right? Your thoughts ain't lashir, they could go on forever. And you can convince yourself it's not a big deal. So the Torah is working hard here to convince us that it is a big deal. As Jews, we have to care about our machshava. Again, machsheves Haman that was overturned. Plot of Haman, Asherheini Atzas Goyim. Hashem, we overturn the plot of the Goyim. Our mind matters, our Kavana matters. Again, Tefillah below Kavana is like a goof without a neshama. So we don't want to be left with just a body, and we certainly shouldn't convince ourselves if we just use our neshama to contemplate something, we shouldn't think it's nothing. Even though there's a chesron kiss, there's no body involved, there's no action involved. Okay, but a thought of a Jew is a very chashuv thing. Powerful idea. It's an important idea. Torah takes it seriously. We should take our thoughts seriously. Okay, let's turn back to page 14. We'll just do a little piece over here. We'll start from the second paragraph. The first piece on Parsha Sav, we'll just do a little bit the second paragraph. It'll help us get our first taste of Pesach. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. Okay, so he says an interesting thing. You see where it says Ha'inyan? The bottom right-hand corner on page 14. Ha'inyan hu al pi masha kasav le'el b'rosh chodesh nisan. Now, we didn't see what he wrote above in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but we'll tap into it over here. She'ikir avodas Yisrael hu lahamlich hatzura al hachomer. The essence of what it means to be a Jew, right? The primary avoda of a Jew is to what? Lahamlich. Lahamlich. To dominate, to crown, to make a melech. The tzura over the chomer. What is Chomer? What is Tzura? I'm not familiar with those words. Having the Maharal a lot.
Like the form and the image? Like
right, the image and the form. What does that mean?
Like Context and the content.
Okay. Right, the chomer, the easy way to explain it is the chomer is like the raw material. The chomer is the unformed substance, yeah? The chomer is just the materials. It can be made into a lot of different things. The tzura is once it has a form, once it's been shaped into something. So I have these little pieces of wood. What am I going to do with them? Right? But if I take those pieces of wood and I attach them to each other, and now I make a functional chair, okay, so now it has a tzura, now it has a shape, now it has a form. Now I've taken the raw potential of those pieces of wood and I fashion them into something. So the ikar avodah of a Jew is to take the raw potential that Hashem has given us and to always try to refine it, to make it something more, to fashion it into something. Right, that's the avodah of Yisrael. Laham lechatzura ala chomer. Not to allow the chomer, the unrefined raw material, to just remain unrefined, but to try to mold it and to try to shape it. My friend and Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Braun, likes to say, a maisa from the Lubavitch Rebbe, he said that I think this is how it goes. I don't know if you heard this from him. The Lubavitch Rebbe, there was a woman who knew the Lubavitch Rebbe from his younger years. So she came once to the Rebbe when he was Rebbe, but she knew him from like when they were kids or something like that. You know, so I guess she felt more comfortable like saying things to him. So you see sometimes Lubavitch Rebbe would often make like a like a clearing his throat kind of sound, or he would like cough sometimes in a very like intense way. So she said to him, she says, you know, Rebbe, you're always like, you know, clearing your throat and always coughing. Like maybe you should get that checked out. Like I could, you know, like you're always like making these noises. Like go to the doctor already, you know? So the Rebbe said to her, he said, no, you have to understand. When I do that, what I'm doing is I'm being mamlich my tzura on my chomer. I'm allowing my tzura to dominate my chomer. I have no idea what that means. That's a very deep idea. Right? But he's saying, I'm somehow like charging my neshama over my body. I'm instructing my neshama. Again, I don't really know what that means. I'm instructing my neshama to dominate my body. That's the ikar avodas Yisrael, that a Jew's tzura should dominate his chomer. Right? My neshama should voice itself, should express itself in a way that dictates to the body how to mold the body. Now, why is that the avodah of a Jew? And how is it connected to Chodesh Nisan? Uviyameha Chodesh Hazeh. Sheim yamim hamuvu rachim yamei ratzon v'yamei bracha. So think about the month of Nisan. Just think about Nisan from a physical perspective. What's happening in the world in Chodesh Nisan? What's happening in the physical world in Chodesh Nisan? Chodesh Ha'aviv, spring. Yeah. As opposed to things being in their imperfect state, dead trees, flowers beneath the surface, you know, no fruit, no flowers. All of a sudden you come to Chodesh Nisan and what? And the world starts to take on its ideal form again. The trees start to blossom. We have a special bracha in Chodesh Nisan. Yeah, Birchas Ilanos. We start to acknowledge the blooming trees. The earth is reemerging from the cold, dark, dead winter. So that's all an expression of things being like that they're supposed to be. You know, a first grade kid, if the Mora says, draw a picture of a tree, and the kid draws a dead tree, so that's a good sign that the kid needs to spend a little more time with the school psychologist to figure out, like, why is your image of a tree a dead tree, as opposed to a tree with flowers, you know, all around it, and apples growing on the tree, and butterflies, right? If you draw a tree in its broken state, so that's, you know, the art therapy was Megala something, maybe a little bit deeper. Okay, so when the world is coming back to itself, Chodesh Nisan, think about it. Klal Yisrael are coming from what? From being slaves, from being unrefined slaves, with no Torah, with no system of living other than just, you know, work and build and do. And now all of a sudden they're coming to Har Sinai, and they're entering into a world of ideas, into a world of values, into a world of godliness. That's being mamlich the tzura ala chomer. Going from a slave to being the Am HaNivchar is being mamlech the tzura on the chomer. So he says, during these days of Nisan, which are days of Ratzon and days of Bracha, Yuchal kol echad v'echad harotze be'emes uvalev shalim uvenefesh chafetza liskos laza. Anyone who wants, the time is ripe. Again, the world itself is hinting to us, this is a time where you can straighten things out. Seder. The Pesach Seder. Everything's misudar. Right? It's not the backwards world of Purim, where you find holiness in unusual places. It's Seder, it's Hashem being mamlech himself upon the world. It's Hashem displaying His grandeur in Mitzrayim. It's Klal Yisrael knowing who they are finally once and for all. And that's what it says in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Be'echad b'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. The first of Nisan is what? Is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. What does it mean, the Rosh Hashanah for kings? So the Pashup Shot of that Mishnah is that there are different Rosh Hashanahs. There are different starting points to the year. You'll say, what does that mean, different starting points of the year? So you know it also from the secular world. Right? There's a January 1st. That's one Rosh Hashanah. Right? There's the first day of tax season. There's the first day of school, sometime in August or early September. Right? There's different starting points. Yeah, the first day of football season. Oh, there's different Rosh Hashanahs. Okay, so the same thing is true in Ruchnias, right? In Torah, there's different Rosh Hashanahs. There's Tishrei. There's an Elul. There's an Nisan. These are all different Rosh Hashanahs. Right? They're different starting points for different things. So Nisan, Aleph Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. What does that mean? It means on a simple level that if a king became a king, let's say in Shvat, yeah, so when he gets to Nisan, which is only 2 months later, if he's writing an official document, he writes, this is the second year of my reign. Nisan is the checkpoint, right, in terms of the calendar year for kings. So as long as he started his Malchus 30 days before Nisan, so by the time he gets to Nisan, he's already in year two of his kingdom. Okay, so when he writes an official document, he writes, you know, the second year of the reign of so-and-so, this king. Okay, but on a deeper level, what does it mean? Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. What does Nisan give us the opportunity to do? To be kings. Sheyuchal lizkos lios b'chinas melech. Every Jew could be a king in Chodesh Nisan. Hainu b'li hishtabdus hachomer, top of the left column, v'sa'or shebe'isa v'shibud malchios. To free ourselves from the enslavement of physicality, of chomer, to free ourselves from what? The Sa'or Shabi'isa. That's what the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin calls the Yetzirah. What does it literally mean, Sa'or Shabi'isa? The leaven in the dough. Chametz. The leaven in the dough is a reference to the Yetzirah in our hearts. So normally we're enslaved to that. We're not able to be Aham L'chatzur Ala Chomer. On Pesach we get rid of our chametz. Right? We become kings. We become the chosen people. We become Hashem's people. We sit like kings at the Seder. We free ourselves from what? Shibud Malchios. We're no longer enslaved kingdoms, Nehemiah, but we become the kings. Yeah, we become the kings. When Bilam and Balak joined us to try to destroy Klal Yisrael, anyone who tries to destroy Klal Yisrael, there's an element of a Malek there. Right? I think I told you this. If you take Bilam and Balak, you take their two names, you can see a Malek emerges, right? Bilam and Balak. You see the letters of Malek. The other letters that remain are what? Are Bavel. Because it was Galus Bavel that preceded the Purim story, and then the Purim story engaged the Malek. So there's an element of Bilam and Balak, there's an element of a Malek there. That's why the Sfarim say Bilam plus Balak is Gematria Mordechai. Because Mordechai is Bilam and Balak, the story in the Torah. Because Mordechai is always, again, Mordechai is a code word for the one who opposes a Malek. And Bilam and Balak, the merger, when Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jews, that was a merger of a Malek. Fine. So what when Bilam came to curse Klal Yisrael and he wanted to destroy the Jewish people, the Gemara says that Bilam knew how to calculate the moment every day when Hashem gets angry. The Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Zayin, Hashem gets angry for a split second every day. Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. Yeah, ki rega ba'apo. For a rega, for a moment, right? Apo. Hashem has af. Hashem has anger towards us. That's also a Malek. Again, you see a Malek over there. Because Rega is Rashi Tevos, Rashis Goyim Amalek. That's how Malek is referred to by Bilam in his curse. Rashis Goyim, the first of nations, Amalek. So Bilam knew that split second, and he was going to exploit that moment to curse Klal Yisrael. So Tosfos asks in Maseches Brachos, over there in Brachos and in Maseches Avodah Zarah, what could Bilam possibly say in a split second? How do you curse? How do you destroy the whole people? I mean, Bilam has these long speeches, but God's anger is just a split second. Gemara says, Rega Kamemra. Rega, like it sounds, a split second. So what was it? What could he possibly say to destroy the Jewish people in 1 second? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is, as long as you start cursing in that second, you can finish your speech. You're allowed to talk as much as you want. As long as you exploit that moment to curse the Jewish people, then you can say anything you want. The second answer is, no, Bilam was going to say one word. to destroy the Jewish people. Anyone know what the magic word was?
Sophie.
One three-letter word. He was going to say, good guess. He was going to say Kalem. Chaf Lamed Mem. Kalem means Kalem, destroy them. But there's a deep secret in that Tosos. Because Kalem is the word Melech backwards. Right? Mem Lamed Chaf. A Melech is a king. Kalem is the downfall of the Jewish people, the destruction of the Jewish people. What does that mean? So the Sfarim explained like this. We have a Moach, we have a brain. We have a lev, we have a heart. We have a kavi, we have a liver. The liver represents the body, because the liver is a very bloody organ. Even in Hilchos Kashrus, how to kasher a liver because it's so bloody is an interesting discussion. So if a Jew operates, if he's in control of himself, if he's mamlich the tzura ala chomer, if he operates from the top down, if he uses his mind to think clearly, and then he dictates to his emotions, to his heart, how he should feel, and from there to the liver, meaning to the organs, to the body, to the blood that's pumped throughout the body, right? Then he's a melech. Moach starts with a mem. Lev starts with a lamed. Kaved starts with a chaf. He's a melech. He's in control. If God forbid, what? He operates, the body has a desire, and then he becomes emotionally attached to that desire, and then he rationalizes why it's not such a big deal to do that, then kalem. Then he's operating from kaved to lev to moach, and that's the destruction and the downfall of the Jewish people. So we have the opportunity in Chodesh Nisan to what? To be kings, to be in control, to operate in the proper Seder. That's right. The highlight of Nisan is the Seder, the Pesach Seder. It's about straightening things out, getting things in the right order. So he quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Just going to do a couple more lines, and I want to tell you one more Purim Dika insight. He says, he quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah. A true ben chorin, it says in Pirkei Avos, a true free person is one who studies Torah. Why? Because when I really absorb Torah in my life, then I know how to make the right decisions. I know what Hashem wants. I feel like I can control my Yetzirah. If my Torah is not penetrating deeply, so then I still succumb to the temptations of the body. But when the Torah enters me in a deep way, right, then I'm a ben chorin, then I'm freed. I'm no longer enslaved to my chomer, to my physicality. I've molded myself into something more. Yeah? So when do we become B'nai Chorin? So you'll say, Pesach. We went free. And then from there, we would count 7 weeks. We came to Kabbalah Satorah. Right? But the truth is what I want to end with, coming out of Purim, we're also B'nai Chorin. Because Purim, we know, is what? Hadar Kiblu B'mei Achashverosh. Purim is a time of Kabbalah Satorah. Right? So Purim actually helps to lead us in. Purim leads us into Chodesh Nisan. The Torah that we accept upon ourselves on Purim helps us to become B'nai Chorin, which helps to free us from Mitzrayim, which helps us to straighten out our lives, helps us to, again, get back to Kabbalah Satorah. Yeah, I know I'm speaking a little bit out of order in terms of, you know, historical chronology, right? But the re-acceptance of Torah and Purim helps us to become B'nai Chorin, which we then take to Pesach to free ourselves from the Yetzirah and to free ourselves from Mitzrayim. What is a Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim means I'm restricted, I'm held back. I'm not able to expand myself. So what's the gematria of Ben Chorin? How much is Ben Chorin? Take a look. How much is Ben? 52. How much is Chorin? 274. 74 is Gematria Mordechai. So how much is 274 plus 52? 36 or 26? 326? So how does this work? Oh, B'nei Chorin? B'nei Chorin. 326. So why do I think it was Purim? Purim was 336. Maybe B'nei Chorin? Maybe B'nei Chorin. I guess that's why you have to add another 10.
Because that's Pesach.
Right. What do we say on Pesach? Hashta Avde, Lashon Haba, B'nei Chorin. So B'nei Chorin. It's not as good. I liked it better. I thought Ben Chorin was Gematria Purim. So B'nei Chorin is Purim. Okay. But the idea is that Purim helps us again to begin that process of becoming Bnei Chorin, because Purim is his man of Kabbalah Satara. And again, a Ben Chorin is Misha Osek Batara. Okay, let's just finish these last two lines. Ki heim chofshim mishibudei hachomer umimachshavos zaros rachmana litzlan. Yeah? We free ourselves from what? We free ourselves from the bonds of physicality and from improper thoughts. And once again, allow ourselves to bring our body to be dominated by a higher order. As Chazal say, Rabbanan Ikri Malke, rabbis are called kings, Shemamlichim Hatzura Alachomer. The Gemara in Gittin says in Daf Samach Beis that the rabbis are called kings. Why? Because a person who learns Torah in a deep way becomes a melech, he's in control. And that's why the Gemara says, Zendikra Nasi Yisrael B'Shem Nasi. When the Torah talks about a king, it talks about a Nasi. Why is a king in the Torah called a Nasi? The Mishnah in Meseches Horios says, Ezehu Nasi Zeha Melech. And the melech is called a Nasi in the Torah. Why is it called a Nasi? What does the word Nasi mean? Shemenase Umaromim Umamlech Hatzura Alachomer. Because the Nasi has the ability to what? To lift up. Right? He's minasei. Umeromeim umam lechatzur alachomer. He elevates what? The more essential part of himself, his neshama, over his body. So I want to end with just one thought. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says that kol Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says every Jew is a melech. Every Jew is a ben melech. Yeah? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who says that every Jew is a ben melech. So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, we should thank Hashem, Halu as Hashem, thank you Hashem for saving us, Bekum Aleinu Adam, when an Adam rose up against us. So the Gemara says, Adam velo melech, when a person fought us, not a king. So Rashi says, who's the person, not the king? The king was scary, Achdresh was scary, but the person was even scarier. Who's the person? Who's the Adam? Haman was the Adam. So thank you, Hashem, for saving us from the Adam. Adam v'lo Melech. Well, why is an Adam more scary than a Melech? So the Maariv Chayis in the back of the Gemara says, because a Melech, a king, a government official, is controlled by Hashem. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Lev Malachim V'sarim B'yad Hashem. Right? The hearts of kings and noblemen are in the hands of Hashem. Meaning when Donald Trump makes a policy, there's a lot of Hashkacha in that, in some way. Right? But when a regular person who doesn't have necessarily the same degree of hashkacha makes a decision, so they're operating a little bit more off the radar. So because Haman was not a melech, he was just an Adam, a very powerful Adam, a very manipulative Adam, in some ways that was a greater threat. So the question is like this. Haman, you think you're an Adam. It says in Maseches Yevamos about the Jewish people, right? Adam ki yamus ba'ol, the Pasuk says. And the Gemara says, Atem kri an Adam. Only Jews are called Adam. Haman, you can't be called an Adam. You're not an Adam. We're an Adam. So Haman says, no, I'm an Adam. You're an Adam. You're an unrefined person. What are you talking about? How could you call yourself an Adam? You're a murderer. So Haman says, no, I'm an Adam. So when our enemy tries to take something that's ours and use it against us, so sometimes we have to fight and take the thing back. Right? We have to reclaim Adam. But sometimes we have to play along with it and beat them at their own game. So Haman says, I'm an Adam, right? I'm the Adam. So we say, you're an Adam, what do you mean? The Torah says, Adam kimus b'ol, Adam is said about the Jewish people. The Gemara says, Adam v'lo melech. Haman says, I'm an Adam, not the melech, but I'm an Adam. So we say, fine, you be the Adam and we'll be the melech. We'll be the melech. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says what? Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim him. Rabbi Shimon says, There's another track to how a Jew views himself. You're really an Adam. You're the heights of humanity. But okay, you're more than that also. You're also a Ben Melech. Hashem is the king of all kings, and you're his child. So Haman, you want to be Adam? That's fine. So we'll be B'nai Malachim. Right? What's ironic is it's Rabbi Shimon who Dafka tells us that we're B'nai Malachim. Because we say on Lag Ba'Omer, right, we sing about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Nasa Adam Namor Bavarecha. Rabbi Shimon, you're the ultimate Adam. But Haman, you want to take Adam? Fine, you take Adam. So then we'll be kings. Right? Now what happens when we become kings? So the Rambam says the way of Geula is what? First you appoint a king. And then you eradicate Amalek, and you build the Beis HaMikdash. So Haman thinks, I'm going to replace the Jewish people. I'm going to be the Adam. So we say, Haman, you be the Adam. Take Adam, fine. We'll be B'nai Malachim. Ah, so Haman, you're forcing every Jew to become a Melech. You're forcing every Jew to what? To really change his ways, to refine himself. Haman brought us to tshuva, to live a more proper life. L'hagbir atzura al-achomer. So once every Jew becomes a Melech, so now we can follow the path of the Rambam. Rambam says, first you appoint a king. We all become kings. Then we defeat Amalek. And then we build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch it says, the calendar date of Lag BaOmer last year is the same day of the week as Purim this year. Why is the Shulchan Aruch telling us what Lag BaOmer was last year that informs Purim this year? Because it's Rishum Bar Yochai who helps us to understand how to do Purim. Right, Rishum Bar Yochai, who says, you're a Ben Melech, Rishum is the one who makes us kings. Kings have the ability to defeat Amalek, and from there to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so we have a lot of Akar Satoh to Rishum Bar Yochai. Nasa Adam never bavarach. That's why I'm saying Nasa Adam is Gematria, Amalek and Miloy, 470. So when Amalek tries to say, no, we're the Adam. We're the Adam Shalim. The Germans, Yimach Shem also, they thought they were the Adam Shalim. You know? The perfect people. The Aryan race. Yimach Shemam. So when they do that, so Klai Yisrael has to pick a different path. So we say, okay, so we'll be B'nai Malachim. We'll remind ourselves that we're not just people. You don't want us to be people? You think we're subhuman? We'll prove to you that we're princes. And from there, we'll eradicate Amalek and bring the Gula. Okay, so that's Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is a continuation of that Kabbalah Satorah of Adar. It's the refinement of Klal Yisrael that took place in Adar. Again, be a melech. Moach, Lev, Kavir. Seder. Okay. Shkoyach, Hever. Thank you for learning.